Ramsey TV.
1 Corinthians 13:7, Concordant Version. Love is foregoing all. Foregoing? Really? Foregoing? That means doing without. Now wait a minute. Love is foregoing. Something wrong here. I've never quite figured this out. I gotta go without coffee? I have to go without Hershey bars with almonds? I have to go without M&Ms? Something's gotta be screwy here. And it is. All right, folks. Martin Zender here. You got a little stream of consciousness yesterday. I said I was going to continue that today. No, but I'm not. Because this stuff at the end here of 1 Corinthians 13 is too complicated. I'm going to show you how I solved this love is foregoing all thing. Okay, here we go. We have three things left. Or is it four? Love is foregoing all. One is believing all. Two is expecting all. Three is enduring all. Four. Tough orders to fill here if we're applying this to human beings. Okay, let's start with love is foregoing all. The Greek word there for forego is stego, S-T-E-G-O. It means to exclude. So that does carry kind of the same thought of to go without, to exclude. Love is excluding all. Excluding all? That's almost weirder than forego. It's like love excludes things. I thought love was inclusive. Inclusive. Love is excluding all. That's the Greek element there. The English element of the Greek stego is exclude. The Concordant Version also translated this refrain. Here's one of those cases where a Concordant Version translates the same Greek word with three different English words. Again, if we want that kind of business, we'll go to the KJV. None of these translations, either refrain or forego, make sense to me. And the definition of forego, to go without, I am puzzled. Exclude, what is that? So I turned, ladies and gentlemen, in a case like this, I turned to the Devar translation, otherwise known as the RIT. This was done up by F.H. Bader, the same guy. Here it is. I guess they're not available anymore. Done up by F.H. Bader, the same guy I talked about during the Revelation series, who wrote Chronology of the Bible. And he calculated the years from Adam, one of the people that calculated the years from Adam, and came up with the year 2028 for the inauguration of the kingdom. Subtract 7 years for the tribulation, and we are really close to the beginning of the final 7 years of this eon, otherwise known as the tribulation. And as you know, things are developing along that line. One world government, totalitarian power that tells people what to do, and it looks like it's based on medical tyranny. It looks like this VC for the CV19er is being used to gain power and to unite humanity under one head. But in this case, it's kind of like under one rule. That is, those who have taken the VC. You cannot buy or sell. People are actually using this term. You can't buy or sell if you don't have the VC. It's not mandatory yet. And of course, people are saying, oh, don't worry. We'll never make it mandatory. Oh, yeah. Up until the time that you do. So I turn to the Devar translation, otherwise known as the RIT. And what do I see in 1 Corinthians 13:7? Are you ready for this? Love roofs all. You heard me right. Love roofs all. R-O-O-F-S. The thing on top of your house. So I puzzled until my puzzler was sore. Love roofs all. Then I saw a notation here, little superscript one, on the word roofs, and it said see page 975. So I, being the world's most outspoken and diligent Bible scholar, turned to page 975. And under the word, the translation roofs, which again is based on the Greek word stego, I read this. To span like a roof. The Hellenic word can freely be rendered span. To span. To roof. Kind of like maybe to cover. To provide coverage for. To overshadow maybe. To shield all from the weather. We're kind of getting close here. This is my rendition of that. Love covers everything. It stretches to meet every need. If you build an extension to your house that way, you got to roof it. If you build an extension that way, you got to roof it. No matter where things go, situations go in this world, love covers it. Love spans it. Love roofs it from the east to the west and from the north to the south. Nothing escapes the coverage of love. Now this is good. Nothing is outside its realm. I'm going to go with that. Love covers everything. Nothing is outside its realm. So when you think, I just can't love that, or I just can't love that person or this situation. Roof it, baby. Roof it. Build a roof. Keep the weather off of it. This is included. In the world, in the realm that love takes care of, that love answers. There's nothing in the creation that love does not answer. So now I look at this translation from the Concordant version, and it looks totally bizarre to me. It looked bizarre before, but even more now. Love is foregoing all. It doesn't. It's just total opposite of what the meaning of what I'm finding from stego. And it certainly doesn't refrain from all, and it doesn't exclude all. So there you have it. Here on MZTV, for perhaps the first time since this word was written by our Apostle Paul, a proper definition of love is stego. Stego. Yeah. Get stego with it, people. Get stego. Cover it all. Okay, now next. Love is believing all. Okay, at this point, even years ago, I think it was like 1997, 98. Love is believing all. If I'm to apply this to human beings, I have a problem. I have to believe everything everybody says. Love is believing all. Hey, Martin, I just climbed Mount Everest in my underwear. With or without oxygen? Without oxygen. Well, because I love you, I believe it. I believe all. Love believes all. Come on. Something screwy here. And something screwy with the next thing, too. Love is expecting all? Am I to expect everything from the people I love? Love is expecting all. I expect to have a great day tomorrow. I expect to finish my run successfully. Hey, maybe I won't do either of those things. Maybe I won't. What do I expect? Well, if something goes wrong in this life, you could say, well, what did you expect? But that's the opposite of this. Love is expecting all. Maybe it's expecting like the Murphy's Law. Love is expecting everything to go wrong. Now, if that's the case, but see, I'm adding to the scripture. Love is expecting everything to go wrong during Eon 3. Oh, yes, I'm in. But what does that have to do with love? And the next thing also, love is enduring all. Okay, that, I can dig it for applying it to situations, to human beings. It comes really along with patience. So I'm not sure of the nuance there that's developed with the word enduring that's not covered by patience. Not sure. But this is what I do. This hit me one day, many, many years ago. I'm looking at this. Love is expecting all, believing all. I said, this can only apply to God, our love toward God. Boom. Then it hit me. It hit me that everything in this list, 1 Corinthians 15, we always apply it to human beings. And that's what I did yesterday until I got here. I kind of got stuck here. And I quit. But like the Grinch who came down the chimney and got stuck, remember? He adjusted himself, came back down. I got stuck, but now I adjusted myself. I've covered stego, got that down. Now, what's with this enduring, what's with this expecting all and believing all? This can only apply to God. We expect everything of God. Yes, God will never disappoint us. That's what, if we love God, we're never disappointed by expecting him to do what he promises. We expect everything from God because his promises are not shallow. They're not empty. Love is believing all. Yes, now I can apply that to God. If I love God, I'll believe God. God loves faith, as I've told you and told you and told you. So now, I've done this before. I'm going to do it again today because here I am in the love chapter. I'm going to apply all these things to God. Now, yesterday, everything I said yesterday can be applied to our fellow human beings. Be patient toward them. Be kind. Don't be jealous. But I'm going to apply these all to God. Getting the clue from expecting all and believing all. Huh? Okay, let's go through the list and apply it to God because this is really startling. It's a revelation because sometimes we're a little hard on God. And we all say, we love God, we love God. Okay, if you love God, then you will be doing this list toward God. Love is patient. Holy Moses, apply this to God. Ouch, right? Are we patient with God? Not really. Do we want to be changed personally? Do we want to develop into our, do we want our characters to develop to become more godlike? Yes, but we know that we grow in the growth of God, and it's not at our pace. And so we have to be patient with God in the personal development department. It's not our department, it's God's. Patience is required. And the obvious one is we're all waiting to be made immortal. We're waiting for the return of Christ. People have been waiting for this for 2,000 years. Like, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Uh-oh. Love is patient. Love toward God. We have to be patient toward God. Do we ever apply this to God? It's rare. We apply it to other people. It's tough enough applying it to other people. But applying it to God, sometimes that's tougher. Because God is all-powerful. God can do anything. Why doesn't he come down here and rescue us? Okay, got to be patient toward God. Love is patient. Love is kind. And, well, if I told you some of the things I said to God, it would shake your faith. So I'm not going to tell you. But I will say this, that I'm never shocked at what I say to God in my worst moments, my worst moments. I really let him have it. I've cussed him out and so on and so forth. And I say to myself, you know, I mean, it's not like God can't handle it. It's not like he doesn't have broad shoulders, but how about some kindness toward God? We never think of it that way. Let's start. Love is not jealous. The Jews were very jealous of God. They didn't want to share him with anybody else. They wanted to monopolize his blessings. When he started going to the nations through Paul and gave the nations more than he was giving Israel, the nations got pissed. They were jealous. So when we see God blessing other people and we think he's overdoing it, why are you blessing that person so much? Hey, I'm over here. Don't be jealous. If God wants to give his love to other people in a different way, his favor, and maybe he's disciplining you. Maybe they're just like getting the not paying attention to them much treatment. But he's paying attention to us, and he disciplines those he loves. So let's not be jealous when the affection of God or the attention of God goes elsewhere. We're sealed. We've got him. He's got us. He's not going away. So let him bless who he wants. Give God the thumbs up. Let him do it. Love is not bragging. Well, this ties in with what I said yesterday. There's nothing we have that we did not get from God first. So we can't brag about any attainment toward God. We can't present ourselves to God as though, God, look what I did. Are you going to be impressed with me today? Let me explain to you what happened with me. Love is not bragging. Love just kind of goes along quietly and just kind of gives God the salute. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's how I do it. Thank you. Thank you. After I cuss him out, of course. Thank you. And God likes that. God likes the acknowledgement that all things come from him. Love is not puffed up. It goes along with the same thing. God has given us many blessings. I mean, God has blessed me with this show. It's incredible. I'm so thankful that every day I can talk to you like this. So I can't get puffed up about it. I just do it, right? I just do it. And this is built into me. People think, oh, Martin's arrogant. That is so far from the truth. I never get puffed up about this. When people tell me, or they prepare to tell me how my work has changed their life, they always preface it with, now, Martin, I don't want to give you a big head, but I always say, try it, please. Give it a try. If you think I'm fantastic, go to the thesaurus and find out 10 more adjectives, wonderful adjectives that describe me. Then maybe I'll get a good opinion of myself and my work for maybe 5 minutes. Maybe it'll please me for 5 minutes, but it doesn't last long because this life is a drudgery. I mean, I'm appreciative that I have this work to do, but there's no room for getting puffed up. It's just like, try to give me a big head. Please go to the thesaurus, empty it with synonyms for wonderful, intelligent, helpful, beautiful. Lay them on me. It'll probably make me feel good for maybe 5 minutes if I'm lucky. Love is not indecent. Well, this might have to do with cussing out God. Let's go to the next thing. Love is not self-seeking. This is all kind of related. Like, part of me wants to perform for God for my own satisfaction. But, and there is some of that involved in everything that we do. We want to feel good about what we do. If we're studying, if we're reading, if we're, you know, spending quiet time with God, we would like to feel good about that. And we can. And we should. But it's ultimately sending it to him, seeking his welfare. Remember in Ephesians, it says, we are called and chosen for the sake of his delight. That's better than seeking glory for ourselves. Love is not incensed. Here we go again. Love is not incensed. Ooh, I can stub my toe and I'm incensed. Who am I incensed at? God. Job was incensed at God. I mean, don't blame yourself. This happens, okay? Don't condemn yourself. But maybe this will help to know that if we love God, it's not great to be incensed at him. Love is not taking into account evil. Oh boy, there's a good one. We know that evil means to break. And we know that God brings evil. Evil is morally neutral. It doesn't have any moral bend to it. It all depends on context. But when God does evil, when he breaks things, it's always for the good. Always for the good. But when God breaks something in your life, it's an evil, but it's for your good. Sometimes God builds you up. Obviously builds you up. Maybe sends you a wonderful blessing. Somebody gives you a house or something crazy like that. Okay. That's not an evil. That's a good. Other times God racks you with a disease. That's not as good as being given a house. Okay. That's an evil. But love doesn't take it into account. Love doesn't point the finger at God and say, hey, about that evil, let it go because it's for your good just as much as getting a free house. Love is not rejoicing in injustice. So this is easy because God is never unjust. He's the savior of the world, sent his son to save the world. That's the most just thing that could be done. And so it's easy to not accuse God of injustice, to not delight in it. Love is rejoicing together with the truth. That's an easy one. God is truth. Christ is truth. Neither one of them have ever lied. so we rejoice that they can't lie. See, people can lie. I've been on the nasty side of that. People can lie. God can't. I can rejoice in what somebody says to me that I think is the truth, but turns out not to be. That's no fun, but God will never disappoint. Now, here we go. Love is believing all and expecting all. Yes, I can only apply that to God. It's believing everything that comes from the mouth of God. Believing it and expecting it. This can only apply to God. I can't apply this to humans. That's what sent me back to this list. And I thought, wow, this would be a revelation to apply this to God. Nobody ever thinks to apply it to God. And then enduring all. We are in a long haul here, but we're in it for the distance. We are going the distance. And if we love God, which we do, we will endure everything God brings us because we know it's temporary. It is so temporary. And our trials, which are temporary, will produce for us, are producing for us, an aeonian burden of glory. And so when we know that, when we know the outcome, then I think it would be easier to endure the process, to endure the trials. And God loves it when we do that.